Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Play 12:37 here in the third quarter, 14-3 our score. Tigers on top. Deep ball is thrown. Corey Scott's got it. Cuts it back inside. He's got a blocker out in front of him. Scott's going to score. And just like that, the Argos flip it. Touchdown, Argos. Stokes to Scott on a 73-yard bomb, and the Argos are right back in it. Sometimes you get what you need. You want to talk about manna from heaven. That was huge.
That was in the third quarter. There was about 12 minutes left to go, so just past the half, and the Argos finally got a touchdown. They'd been down 14-3 against West Alabama. I think West Alabama had been ranked number 18, and we were ranked like number 12, so this was obviously a big powerhouse matchup for us. But, you know, trailing by quite a bit. Managed to get that 73-yard bomb and pull it back within three. West Alabama got two field goals after that, making it 20-10 in the fourth quarter, 11 minutes to go.
Rolls out short side, looking to fire. Fires, it's got his tight end, Jackson Blaylock, with the catch. Touchdown, Argos! Blaylock had to dive. Stokes had some pressure in his face, floated it out there. It's a tight end Saturday.
20-17, and that's the way the score remained for quite some time through the fourth quarter, where I almost said the fourth inning. I watched so much baseball. Yeah, here in the fourth inning, they brought in a relief pitcher for the quarterback. he's going to throw a screwball. Anyway, I did. You know, this is a complete side note, but I had taped a baseball game from like a month ago where the Dodgers and the Cardinals were playing, and there's a pitcher for the Dodgers who throws a screwball. I mean, talk about a pitch you have not seen in 40 years, you know, but he throws a screwball, and it's just kind of on my mind for, you know, whatever reason. Anyway, so the score, like I said, stayed up Alabama, West Alabama by three over UWF for quite some time, and then in the fourth quarter, back and forth, and, you know, a lot of nothing happening much. Then with about a minute to go in the fourth quarter, UWF got to within field goal range, and Cade Lombardo.
Snap is there. Kick is up. And it is banged home. Splits the uprights, it's true. 1 minute exactly on the clock, and we are all tied up in this football game.
And that's how it remained to go into overtime. Now, if you're familiar with NFL rules, it's not that way. In college, you get to try and then another try. And if, you know, everybody gets the same number of tries. So if they score, you can score. And if they score a touchdown and, you know, you score only a field goal and so forth, okay? So it's an even number of tries per side no matter what happens. Well, UWF gets the ball first.
They'll go to Woods. Woods is there for the touchdown. Argos score. They take the lead for the first time tonight. Jamontez Woods, number 10, carries it in from 2 yards out. And the Argos jump up top 26-20.
That became 27-20 in the first overtime for their half, West Alabama.
Scrum at the goal line. They're going to say he got in. Good fight from Jenkins as he just took that into the left side of the line and kept churning his feet till he broke the goal line.
So that made it 27-27, and the way they do it is they reverse who goes first. So West Alabama goes second, and then they go again, and UWF will go basically fourth, if you want to think of it that way. So West Alabama's got the ball, 25-yard line, very next play. That's the way they do it. They set you up at the 25-yard line and try to get it in for a touchdown or for a field goal. Okay, so West Alabama, tie game, 27-27, second pair of overtimes basically at the 25.
As Jenkins on his right shoulder, two receivers to his right, one to his left, balls on the far hash. First down play. They'll pull it out of Jenkins' belly. They'll throw it to the middle of the field. It's caught, and he's dragging him into the end zone. Chris Binion hadn't done a ton tonight, but does it right there. 25-yard strike from Spencer Arsenault, and West Alabama takes the lead.
So in two plays, they scored 13 points. So this, and you hadn't seen this really throughout the whole game, but defenses are tired and offense are taking advantage of it. So West Alabama decides to go for two. Figuring we're just going to put the pressure on right here. Spencer Arsenault is quarterback for West Alabama.
They're going to go for two as is right now in round number two. why not, right? Line up here and try to put it away. But if you don't get it, and the Argos score a touchdown, Arsenault sprint for the goal line. He gets there. What a slick play by Spencer Arsenault. He slid that ball into his left hand as he was going out of bounds. Got it right across the goal line. The Argos couldn't keep him in check. They put two on the board. Gutsy call by Brett Gilliland, but you like the momentum your offense has. And you make it 35-27. So now the Argos have to score a touchdown and put up a two-point conversion.
And that play was under review for a long time because of whether his knee had gotten down before he slid out. They couldn't overturn the call on the field. So whatever did happen doesn't matter. The default is to the call on the field unless they can overturn it. So they got the 2 points. And you were almost hoping. There was a moment where you were almost hoping they would only get six, and then all the Argos have to do is score a touchdown. But they did get eight. That means it's a Herculean task because not only does UWF have to get the touchdown, but they also have to get the two-point conversion. So UWF, who is down by eight, at this point, 35-27 in their half of the second overtime.
This is it right here. Fourth down.
Fourth down.
12. Ball on the 12. You got to get into the end zone here.
12 yards to go to get a touchdown or nothing. You lose.
No less. Touchdown! Damani Brown spins off the defender. And now West Alabama, some of the DBs have the gall to say, he pushed me.
He didn't.
Wow. But Damani Brown catches the touchdown pass.
And all of a sudden, a game that, you know, basically UWF was kind of didn't have a lot of hope, and then they got that third quarter touchdown, and then they got the field goal to tie it, and then they got the touchdown first, and then you're like, oh, no, it's all over. And they got a touchdown, so now they got, oh, all they got to do is a two-point conversion, and then they're back in it. We're tied again. We'll go to another round of overtime. So this is a crazy back-and-forth game. So UWF needs to make this for touchdown, a two-point conversion, in order to get tied so they can go to a third overtime.
Argos send three out to the right, one to the left of Stokes. It's zero protection in the backfield. Marcus brings a man in motion, so we're going to load up heavy on the right side. Stokes rolling out. Will he do the same thing? Oh, he tried to fire it. He was sprinting out to his right, threw it right into a defender's hands, and West Al pulls out the win, 35-33, pulling the upset here in Pensacola. Knocking off the number 12 team in the country.
So close. So a great game. Okay, that's a great game. It's not the outcome that you'd want, Saints fans. But it's... Sorry. You know, what are you going to say, Michigan fans? Anyway, you know, it was a great game, but the Argos did lose at home on Saturday. 5:16 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. So there's weather. It is too early to know much, right? It's too early to know much. It's about 4 days away, Thursday, 3 days away, 3.5 days away. It's got like an 85, 90% chance of formation. It's just, it had been kind of a formless blob, and now it's a still formless, but more blog shaped towards us. And the projections, which you can't really exactly trust at this moment because they're kind of all over the place, have it going, if it forms, which it's likely to form, anywhere from the westernmost, you know, there's always the drunk uncle, okay, in the pack, but the drunk uncle plot to the west is to, like, I think around Galveston. I don't know my Texas geography all that well, but I think that's about right. The drunk uncle easternmost is Tampa Bay. Okay, so a lot of range. That being said, most of the rest of the projections tend to have it going right at Apalachicola. Okay, with the center of the averages is right at Apalachicola. But that could be as west as, well, I said, you know, New Orleans or as east as Tampa. And so at this point, it's really a maybe, mostly to form, maybe to affect us. You know, we don't want it to affect anybody, but we want it to go east. You know, so it's sort of the same story that we often say, or I often say anyway, which is, you know, have your plan, have your water, a gallon of water per person per day for 7 days, enough food to get you through for a week. If you're especially in a place where you get affected by electrical outages, or there's a lot of trees, which means if you live in Florida. So it's I would say nothing to act on just yet, other than if you haven't been doing your job all along, then, you know, we'll do it. Of course, I also wouldn't be all that surprised if over the next day or two you see a lot of scarcity on the shelves, because that's how people are, right? We don't have enough food. Oh, we got to go get our bottled water. Yeah, you don't have to have bottled water. You know, 2 liters are great. Anyway, 519 on News Radio 92.3. It's almost, I hesitate to mention it, but I know it's been, oh my God, my Facebook feed is like 80%. Did you see this model? Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it might come right at us. It might come to our west. It might come to our east. I'm not ignoring the threat, but I'm not getting worked up about it. Not 4 days away. But I think what has people mostly unsettled about this is you usually get like the 2 week warning. You know, it's coming from Africa. Well, this one's coming from, you know, the Caribbean. That's where it's forming, is a sudden pop up, so to speak. And I thought we're supposed to get longer. What? You get the warning you get. I mean, be prepared all the time. You never know when some storm is going to take out the power or put down some trees, or sudden flash flood is going to take out the one bridge that goes to your subdivision. I mean, you just, weird things happen. You should be prepared. And if you're prepared, then this is like, well, you know, okay, I'm prepared. 520 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you need hardware supplies of any kind, if you're trying to remodel or you're rebuilding or you're repairing, especially if you're repairing something that you already tried to remodel. Not saying that's me. I'm just saying that would likely be me. Or if you build things for a living, okay? Pensacola Hardware, they can take care of you. They've been around since 1851, so they've seen it all. They've seen it all. In fact, if you just walk around, I often think in my head, you know what Pensacola Hardware should do is they should research all the homes that they have had a hand in supplying, and then they should make an app. I mean, I don't think that people are necessarily going to be all that into the app that tells them, you know, the Pensacola Hardware. But it's in my head that's what I always think is, wouldn't it be kind of cool to walk around downtown and be like, Pensacola Hardware, Pensacola Hardware, Pensacola Hardware, that one? Weird. Okay. Pensacola Hardware. You know, like all of these, especially the historic homes, but certainly a lot of the newer ones too. Their bread and butter is construction, okay, but they're certainly there to help you with your personal stuff, whatever it is. You know, anything you need, plus good advice, plus housewares for gifts in the front half of the store. It's all kinds of cool houseware stuff. Right downtown at 20 East Gregory, Pensacola Hardware, one of the 50 oldest companies in the entire country, the oldest in Florida since 1851, helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola, right downtown 20 East Gregory Street.
Sweet chocolate reward. Sweet chocolate reward.
This is not just the sound of someone picking up a sweet treat at Walgreens. This is the sound of someone picking up a sweet treat right after receiving all their vaccines in one trip. This is the sound of treating yourself, because you protected yourself.
Stop by or schedule both your flu and COVID-19 vaccines today and grab yourself a sweet treat while you're at it. Vaccine subject to availability. State, age, and health-related restrictions may apply.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, tomorrow night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax. Enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This Tuesday, Crosstown takes the stage, playing a little bit of everything, including classic rock, blues, and everything in between. It's Bands on the Beach tomorrow night at 7 with Crosstown.
I occasionally have nerve discomfort in my hands, so the things I love to do...
Let's play something, Grandma!
...became difficult as I got older.
If you have occasional stabbing and burning in your hands and feet, try Nervive Nerve Relief. Nervive's clinically studied dose of alpha-lipoic acid reduces occasional nerve discomfort in as little as 7 days with continued daily use. Say yes to healthy nerves with Nervive Nerve Relief.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
Put down the gun and give me my detonators.
So we got a very interesting letter from Senator Tom Cotton. He says the Honorable Ronald L. Rowe Jr., acting director of the Secret Service. You know, beginning to think that we throw this honorable title around a little bit too freely. Anyway, he says in this letter that his office has received whistleblower information. This was dated September 18th, so late last week, that the most recent attempt on the life of former President Donald Trump raising troubling questions about Secret Service protocols on that day. A whistleblower with direct knowledge of Secret Service protection at former President Trump's golf course in West Palm Beach, an individual who has, in fact, protected President Trump at that very location, alleges there are known vulnerabilities in the fence line surrounding the course. That's, of course, where the attempted assassin shot from. Places that offer a clear line of sight to the former president and others playing the course. And this part is in bold and underlined. As a result, the whistleblower alleges it has been Secret Service protocol to post up agents at these vulnerable spots when Trump visits the course. Natural, since you know it's a vulnerability, you put bodies in the fence line, right? That apparently, this is continuing with the letter, that apparently did not happen on September 15th. Instead, the gunman was permitted to remain along or near the fence line for some 12 hours. It is further unclear from your recent press conference whether agents swept the perimeter of the golf course at any point or whether drones were used to surveil the fence line. The reality is that the would-be assassin should never have been able to linger around the course for that long undetected. Exactly what we've been saying ever since. And not that we're the only ones. I'm just, you know, duh. Please answer immediately the following questions raised by these new whistleblower allegations. One, did Secret Service possess personnel post up at known vulnerabilities in the perimeter fencing? Number two, did Secret Service personnel sweep the perimeter prior to the former president's arrival on the site? Number three, did Secret Service use canine units or unmanned aerial system elements to monitor the perimeter of the golf course? How were they used? Number four, if counter-surveillance personnel were present at the golf course on September 15th, as you stated at a recent press conference, in what manner were they deployed? Why did they not detect the gunman sooner? Why did you have to just get lucky and see a barrel pointing through the bushes? Again, the president was in view yet, but still 400 yards away is not that far. Number five, what was the specific counter-surveillance mitigation plan for the known vulnerabilities outside the fence that day? Sincerely, Josh Hawley, U.S. Senator. I said Tom Cotton. I'm sorry, Josh Hawley. My mistake. So, all the right questions. 437-1620. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, while we're on the topic of the Trump assassination attempt, the man that authorities believe wanted to shoot former President Trump has a detention hearing scheduled for today. Wesley Ryan Ruth so far has been charged with possession of a firearm by a felon and possession and receipt of a firearm with a defaced serial number. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky will be in the U.S. this week to present what he's calling his victory plan in Ukraine's war against Russia. The White House says he'll be meeting with President Biden this coming Thursday. And Andrew, I know you'll be excited for this one. Apparently, New Kids on the Block are going to be doing a concert in Las Vegas. The group announced their first Las Vegas residency, and that'll kick off June 20th of next year.
Yep. I still haven't bought tickets. Can I just tell you that if you held a gun to my head and said, or let's make it easier. If you offered $1 million to me in an open briefcase with, you know, obviously this is available to me, and said, Andrew, I need you to identify this group of teenagers as the Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, or what's the one that you said?
New Kids on the Block.
I'm not winning $1 million. I mean, I might get lucky. But I'm not winning it like I have
right.
no confidence. Like I wouldn't be able to tell any of these people apart.
Now, I'm wondering, is it time for New Kids on the Block to change their name? I mean, can they still call themselves the New Kids on the Block?
Sure. I mean, I guess. I get your point. Yeah, they're the old kids on the block. Kind of like when Mick Jagger, when Roger Daltrey sings, you know, hope I don't get very much older. Too much old before I get old, right? Anyway, I get your point. But I'm sure for some people this is big news.
Absolutely.
For me, this is...
There's a lot of people who will pay a lot of big money to see him.
So far outside of my zone of interest. It might as well be country music. It's that far away from me. Yeah, I know, John, right. That's the right shock face. David, thanks so much for the update. 528 on News Radio 92.3. What was the other thing? Leonardo Helicopters has delivered their 100th Thrasher. Remember, they've, the new helicopters that they're delivering, you know, always kind of like two a month, I think, is kind of the rough pace for these deliveries up to Whiting Field, you know, to replace the existing. I feel like I've got this wrong. The Thrasher is the new one, right? The Thrasher is not the existing one. I feel like I've got that backwards. In any case, they have finally put 200. They replaced about 100 and... No, I had it right. The TH-73 is the Thrasher. Okay. Anyway, that's to replace the outdated from the 50s, the Sea Ranger. I mean, that is an old helicopter, right? Always having, you know, mechanical problems. Anyway, there are 113 of those, and I thought the number, I thought the target was right around 150. John, does that seem right to you, about 150 for the new ones, the Thrashers? I think so. And I think they're still needing to build a hangar out there. I haven't been up to that space since they did the, you know, kind of the ribbon cutting, and then they had the temporary hangar. It's out on Whiting where they're all stored in what's mainly more for maintenance. But anyway, that's good news. That's good news that they're having, you know, again, 100 of these have been delivered to the U.S. Navy. 437-1620, 437-1620. As far as events go, of course, we have Bands on the Beach tomorrow night. Always a performance for Bands on the Beach. Always a good time at 7 o'clock at the Gulfside Pavilion. Go there, watch some live music, enjoy yourself. We were just out paddleboarding at Big Lagoon and Johnson Beach over the weekend, and I said to my wife, I said, do you want to be like, you know, beach people and go grab a bushwhacker and listen to some music before we go home? She's like, nah. I'm like, yeah, me either. We're good. Anyway, Crosstown is going to be performing tomorrow night. I'm not knocking it. I'm, you know, it's just not really our personal habit. Brunch and Bubbles for the Gulf Coast Kids House is Sunday, October the 27th at Portofino. That's always a good time. And the Pensacola Symphony Orchestra opening night kicks off soon with Romeo and Juliet and Bernstein's Symphonic Dances from West Side Story. Tickets are available now at PensacolaSymphony.com. 99th season for the Pensacola Symphony Orchestra.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Israel's military says it's conducting airstrikes on Hezbollah militant targets in southern Lebanon.
Over the weekend, Hezbollah launched some 150 projectiles across the border. Israel's warning Lebanese residents to get out of homes and other buildings where the militants store weapons. The goal of Israel's campaign is to make the border area safe enough for thousands of displaced citizens to return home. Jonathan Savage, Fox News.
Police in Birmingham, Alabama say a mass shooting on a sidewalk Saturday night was a paid hit with the target, one of the four people killed. Mayor Randall Woodfin says illegal switches that turn handguns into automatic weapons are the number one public safety issue in the city and state.
Whose only intent, hell-bent intent, is to harm people, shoot people, kill people.
17 people are injured, some with life-threatening injuries. There are several shooters, none in custody. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got 74 degrees in Pensacola and partly cloudy skies this morning. Well, the chances of development are increasing for this disorganized cluster of showers and storms in the northwestern Caribbean. Forecasters now saying it's got between a 70 and 80% chance of development over the next week. Still way too early to get any specific information, but the National Hurricane Center says that the system is forecast to move generally northward across the Gulf of Mexico so far. Again, no information on how strong the storm could potentially be, where it'll go, or how or if it will impact our area. But we'll be watching this here throughout the week. A man was arrested over the weekend for a stabbing that left his brother injured. Escambia deputies say they responded to this incident on the 6800 block of Cornelius Lane about midnight on Saturday. A victim was found with a stab wound to both the hand and the chest. Investigators determined that the incident was a fight between two brothers. 40-year-old Edward Petway was arrested and taken into custody. The victim taken to a hospital where he is expected to recover. Petway remains in the Escambia jail on an attempted homicide charge and is being held with no bond. Now, foreign election interference. It's just going to be a fact of life in the 21st century. That a prediction from Marco Rubio on yesterday's Face the Nation on CBS. Rubio said Russia, China, and Iran are all trying to influence voters this election season. He says the Chinese are new and they'll be laying the groundwork for more expansive operations in the future. Rubio said the best way to deal with this is awareness and to understand that not everything you see on the internet is true. Escambia County deputies say they're looking for a teenage girl that went missing. 15-year-old Cadence Jesse was last seen Friday night in the 7900 block of Coronet Drive. At that time, Jesse was wearing a gray hoodie and white shorts. If you have any information on her location, you are asked to call the Escambia Sheriff's Office with that. And Fish and Wildlife officers getting an arrest warrant for a boater that reportedly fled the scene of an accident on the Blackwater River. According to a recent FWC Weekly report, that boater collided with the tree line. That ripped the motor from the boat, and the boater was knocked unconscious temporarily. A witness said once the boater regained consciousness, he threatened bystanders not to call for law enforcement, then fled the scene. FWC says they did find that boat and the suspect after the incident. They're now obtaining an arrest warrant for fleeing the scene of a reportable boating accident. It is 5:34 News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. Beautiful weather today with plenty of sunshine, high near 89, low near 71. For the tropics, we are watching a broad area of low pressure in the Caribbean Sea that has now formed. Tropical depression or tropical storm likely to form during the next couple of days. Still unclear for potential track and intensity of the system, but now is a good time to monitor as we go into the next few days and also refresh those hurricane supplies and make sure you're going over that hurricane plan. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. It is 74 degrees now in Pensacola, 72 in Gulf Breeze, 71 in Milton. And let's get a look at our market report this morning.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Dairy company HP Hood has voluntarily recalled Lactaid, a lactose-free dairy milk, in 27 states due to potential exposure to almonds. The states where the recalled milk was sold include Alabama, Missouri, and more. Elon Musk's X has complied with orders from Brazil's government in hopes the court would lift a block on its site in the country. Musk had refused to obey what he called the legal orders to censor voices on his social network, dismissed local employees, and refused to pay fines. Transformers 1 came in second at the North American box office for its opening weekend, raking in $25 million, according to studio estimates. In first for a third weekend in a row, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, with an additional $26 million in ticket sales. Futures are slightly higher after the Dow reached another record high on Friday. The Dow gained 38 and the NASDAQ was down 65. That's your money now.
You depend on your vehicle.
Come on, start already.
And you need a good auto shop to depend on as well. That shop is A1 Auto and Diesel Repair, now open on North W Street. They guarantee the lowest rates in Pensacola, and they offer a 2-year national warranty on all of their work. Their certified mechanics have got you covered. No matter the problem, one call does it all. 850-285-0958. A1 Auto and Diesel Repair, 4414 North W Street, Pensacola.
NAS Wedding Field is a major training facility for our United States military. It produces more than 1,200 pilots a year and is the home to the largest air wing in the U.S. Navy and produces 100% of all Navy, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard helicopter pilots. But NAS Wedding Field has a lot more to offer and makes a huge impact to our local community. Tune in today at 9 to hear what's happening at NAS Whiting Field on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Next time on Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Monday, we start the work week with a look into the failure of Milton's recycling program. Ed Spears, city manager, is live to explain the city's position. We'll do it at 4:20. Local news, sports, traffic, and the 5-day forecast. It's Pensacola Right Now, just after 4 weekdays on News Radio 92.3.
Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 till 7 on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 5:38 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Happy Monday in the week of apprehension. We're kind of just keeping an eye on this, whatever it's going to be out in the Gulf. Maybe Thursday arrival. We'll see. We'll keep you more informed as we get a little bit better information. On Friday, we had a good chance to talk to Alex Andrade. You may have heard a lot of conversations about the fire fees in Santa Rosa County changing, shifting, becoming unfair or more fair, depending on whom you ask. So we asked him because, you know, he is the representative for at least the southern portion of Santa Rosa County, the beachfront areas and the southern half of Navarre. Alex, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. Can we start with maybe just do a little background for people on what the fire fees have been, how they've been structured, and what the changes have been. I know you and I were just talking about this off the air. You were kind of explaining it to me. Everybody's a little bit different, but there's a little bit more uniformity now. But what's happened? Give us the background so we all know what we're talking about.
Yeah. So for the past, several years, three out of the four main fire districts in Santa Rosa County have generated revenue on an ad valorem tax basis, meaning part of your property tax bill has a millage rate that's assessed for fire. For example, Midway's millage rate that they assessed for fire last year was 2.5 mils, which in context is nearly 50% of the Santa Rosa County as a whole millage rate and nearly 50% of the Santa Rosa County School District millage as a whole. So you had folks in Midway who were paying, 2.5 mils. For context, on a, let's say, $500,000 house, that would be north of $2,000 you'd be paying just in fire fees for your house.
Wow. Okay. So, and that was Midway. And again, like you say, nearly half as much they were paying just for the one service of fire as they were paying for all of the county for everything else and all of the school board for everything else, which is amazing. Pace and Avalon also were on an ad valorem, a property tax basis too?
Yeah. Pace and Avalon Lot were also on an ad valorem basis, but they weren't levying that 2.5 mils. Pace was levying 1.5 and Avalon's levying 2.
And 2.5, and 2.5 was the max, right? 2.5 was the most they were allowed by law.
I believe so, yeah.
Okay.
Without a referendum. The one outlier was Holly Navarre. Holly Navarre was already on the fee structure that we are now implementing for Midway, Pace, and Avalon Mulot. And that fee structure is based on minimum square footage basis. So for houses 2,300 square feet or less in Navarre, they pay $150 for their fire fee, and then they pay about 7 cents per square foot above 2,300 square feet.
Okay.
That's the same concept that now Midway, Pace, and Avalon Mulot are taking on, just with slightly different numbers than what Navarre has.
And as I understand it, because the legislation made this change possible, Midway, Pace, and Navarre are now on up to 1,600 square feet. They pay a flat fee, and then they pay a per square foot after that, with Midway being a 300 base and Pace and Avalon being a 250 base. Do I have that right?
Well, the only thing you have wrong is that number being a base. So 300 is the maximum Midway can charge someone who owns a 1,600 square foot house. No one's telling Midway to charge $300 per 1,600 square foot house.
Okay.
They could choose to charge 200. They could choose to charge 15, like 150. Same with Pace and Avalon. Those are the 300 for Midway and the 250 for Pace and Avalon. Those are the maximums, similar to the 2.5 mil concept.
I gotcha.
That's the maximum they can charge. Everyone, I'm assuming, would encourage them to charge less than the maximum.
Okay, and have they set those per unit rates yet? Has that been decided upon?
Yes. I know Pace's meeting was earlier this week, and Midway's, I believe, was also maybe earlier this week or late last week.
Okay.
And yeah, they've all set them. Paces did not charge the maximum. My understanding is that Midway did vote to charge the maximum.
Okay, so Midway went with 300. Pace went with something less, and Avalon went with something less, I guess, previously. And keep in mind that Navarre, for a bigger house up to 2,300 square feet, is almost half that much at 150. Okay, that's sort of the fact background, and I wanted to talk about this in terms of philosophically why it matters. So hang on for just a second. Alex Andrade, our state representative for District 2, which is the southern half of, it's the southern half of Escambia County and all the waterfront areas of Santa Rosa County, Midway, Navarre, for example, or much of Navarre, not all of Navarre. So the people that are upset about this, I presume, are the people who have smaller and or lesser value homes, because for them on the old system, when you raise the rate, when you raise the amount, it would affect the expensive home more. And as property values go up, it's going to cost the expensive people, expensive home people more. Whereas this system shifts the burden of the cost downscale, so to speak, so that people in smaller or, you know, lesser value homes are going to wind up paying more proportionate to what they paid before. Am I right about that? Those are the people that are upset?
Yeah, and a few just keynotes. This is a charge for a fee. There's, you know, no one is saying that we should pay different rates for the same trash service. No one is saying we should pay different rates for the same electrical services or gas service or water service. This is a service that is being provided by an independent elected district. And yeah, the whole concept was that everyone who puts the same burden on the system should pay the same amount for the burden they place on the system. And this is also, I mean, Andrew, I know your position on ad valorem taxes. It's the most unfair method of taxation you can imagine.
It is.
When we talk about home values, they're not arbitrary, but someone who owns the same type of house, same value, if it goes on the market, same everything, if they've lived in it for 30 years, that ascribed taxable value could be $100,000, whereas someone who has lived in that same exact house for 1 year, their ascribed value could be $600,000.
Exactly.
It's a massive disparate difference, and it's a complete imbalance. I think one of the biggest misconceptions and one of the biggest...
Let me interrupt you for just a second. And one additional problem is if it's a rental versus a homestead, because... The person who is in a homestead, they get all of these reductions in the taxable value of their home. But if you own a home that you rent out to somebody, all of a sudden you don't get any of that benefit. And if you own one home and live next door in the identical home that you rent out, on your own home, you might be paying, you know, 2.5 mils on 100,000. And the next door, you're paying, you know, 2.5 mils on 400,000 just because it's a rental. All of these things, which are insane, in my opinion. But okay, go ahead. I kind of interrupted you. You were going to say.
Oh, well, I was going to take up the question of those exemptions. Yeah, so some of the main exemptions we have are the homestead exemption. That's a $25,000 reduction in your assessed value, that fake number we just talked about. So if your assessed value is $150,000 and it's a homestead property, well, then your assessed value for tax purposes is $125,000. We have a couple other of those types of tax exemptions. It's like a $5,000 tax exemption for a disabled veteran, a $5,000 exemption for someone who has a disability. And so, I mean, those exemptions are like one-fifth of the value of the homestead exemption, but I think a lot of that's getting blown out of proportion in some of these discussions related to this issue. Again, the whole concept is you should pay the same amount for the same value. This should be across the board. If Avalon or Midway or someone else wants to talk about some type of ability to issue rebates for any specific person they believe shouldn't be paying for this service but still receiving it, I'm happy to discuss it with them, but that's never been discussed. And I've been working with Avalon and Pace and Midway since last year on these bills.
Businesses, under these systems, businesses have to pay a disproportionate amount too, right?
Yeah. Businesses on their fees, their fee structure is the same concept, but it's different maximum amount.
Okay. Now, the thing that you and I have not, we haven't really talked about yet, but I just wanted to make sure before we run out of time that we get to this. Something that I had never thought of until I did, you know, ride-alongs with Escambia County Fire was who really is a fire risk? Because it's one thing, you know, I get the idea behind the larger home pays a larger fee because there's more stuff to catch on fire. But in practice, that's not true. The nicer homes are typically less prone to fire because of safety measures taken, because of lifestyle choices that people who live in nicer homes, you know, for example, less likely to smoke or engage in risky behavior or, you know, there's all kinds of things, okay? What you really find out is that the people who are most likely to use the fire service are people who live in lower value homes and typically older homes, which are less safe to begin with because of codes that they were built under. And so even in a system like this, where you're generally paying kind of a flat fee plus a little bit per square foot, the people who are really putting a drain on the system, or who are really likely to put a demand on needing fire service, are still not paying really their fair share. Am I wrong?
I don't think you're wrong philosophically, just based on the numbers of where calls go for fire calls. All I'd say is what you're talking about is kind of like what is the conservative mindset on where the social safety net should go and how far the social safety net should expand. And part of this
and
is
who should pay for it, right?
Yeah. At the end of the day. Yes. Part of this is, you know, still at the end of the day, some level of a social safety net. I mean, this is a community service, same way as police. You know, I'm paying taxes for police officers. I hope I never have to call them.
Exactly.
I've never had police officers come to my house.
And part of that, if you live in a nice neighborhood, is you pay a lot extra because you're a nice house for police services that are more likely distributed towards poor neighborhoods. You know, that's just the way the police works too. Same thing.
And I could not imagine a fire district or a county commission trying to set their budget based on, you know, billing for services after they've been provided. Like,
right.
Imagine the nightmare for that budget department.
Well, all I'm getting at is, you know, we're never going to have a situation where somebody's going to propose that you should actually pay more for older and or lower value homes for fire service, even though the reality is like an insurance company. You know, insurance companies charge you more if you're a smoker. Well, a fire service should charge you more if you're a smoker for going on real, you know, fee for service kind of provided. Nobody's really proposing that. I'm just saying that whining about having to pay even a more comparable fee for service, like you say, trash collection, for example, is whining about something where you're already getting more than your fair share of service for the fee paid. And so I think the old system of ad valorem basis was crazy. I also think that charging 2.5 mils when the county itself charges only 6 is, that seems like a lot to me. So I just wanted to have you on to kind of banter this about a little bit so people would be informed and really think through kind of the implications of where we've got. Did I leave anything out? Any last thoughts you want to share, Alex?
Well, yeah, I think this has been an opportunity for a lot of folks to realize that Midway Fire District's budget has ballooned in the past 10 years. I mean, their budget in 2015 was $2.7 million. What they intended to tax and spend in 2024 was $8.5 million. This was their department has grown in revenue exponentially to the point where they were the only district in our general area coming anywhere near to taxing the maximum amount they could on ad valorem. And so I think a lot of folks didn't realize they had elected boards that manage these fire districts. And it might be an opportunity to discuss with the county commission, whether or not there might be an actual savings if the county commission took these services back over.
Yeah, I think that's the right next question.
Districts.
You know, this sort of patchwork quilt of systems, the various fees they charge, whether they're being used, ideally in an efficient way. I will say that, you know, speaking as an Escambia County resident, that having the county run the fire service isn't also the golden, isn't necessarily the golden solution to everything. But, you know, it's well worth considering. So I'm glad that conversation is sort of on the cusp of at least happening, you know, at least being talked about. Alex Andrade, State Representative for District 2, thank you so much for always being available to answer questions for me and for helping explain this pretty complicated issue to our folks. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Andrew.
Absolutely. 5:52 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're considering whether it's time to sell or to buy a home, you need a good real estate agent, somebody who's going to, you know, help you get all the way through to the sale, somebody who, even when the market is a little bit more challenging like it is right now, still sold 122 homes so far this year, 175 homes sold last year. And, you know, that's in a market where like 50% of agents sell one or fewer homes per year. Christina Leavenworth and her folks at Leaven Rinke Realty, I was just kind of chatting with her as she was at this real estate conference last week. And, you know, she was telling me like 30% fewer sales this year over last year overall. In general, that's just like across the market, across the entire United States. So you've got to be creative, right, in this situation. You've got to understand people. And, you know, they're doing different things. Like one of the things they're doing now is they're kind of writing, this is going to sound strange to you, but this is kind of how they're always trying to innovate. Love letters from homes. Like the home writes you a letter, you know, I have these kind of qualities. I might need this kind of attention. My owners are willing to do this. Like, it's kind of a it's weird, but I actually read one and thought, oh, that's actually kind of clever, because you're trying to get attention in a competitive marketplace, and that's just something that they're doing. So interesting, but that's the way she thinks, is how can we do it better? How can we make more? How can we get a better price for people? So if you want a real estate agent who thinks that way and has a lot of outstanding results, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, 723-9158.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. New South Window knows how unpredictable coastal weather can be. And that's why our windows and doors are designed to take on severe hurricanes and the most intense heat. They're built and installed by us, meaning better value and a lifetime guarantee for you. Give your family security that lasts a lifetime. And get New South Proud.
For a limited time only, when you buy more, you can save more. Visit NewSouthWindow.com to learn more.
When hurricanes are brewing and heading to the Gulf, tune in to News Radio Pensacola for complete storm coverage you can count on. We have direct reports from the Emergency Management Center and from the National Hurricane Center to give you the latest on the storm's path, strength, and impacts. Stay informed and stay safe with comprehensive hurricane coverage heard on News Radio Pensacola. Now on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, and on our News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
Advertising, marketing, digital marketing. These are all words you hear a lot about in today's world. But what do they mean? How do you get started? You can start by tuning into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10:30 a.m. Join me, Lexi Mendoza, and I'll show you how to navigate the fast-growing landscape of digital advertising. Today at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Don't wait until it's too late. Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest hurricane coverage on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
You know, several, you know, dozens of people spontaneously combust each year. It's just not really widely reported.
Right. Yeah.
No, it's true. There's a conspiracy to suppress the spontaneous human combustion death threat every single year. Spinal Tap is absolutely right. 5:56 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. You know, if you were to name your kid something unusual, are you not John? You got a couple kids,
right?
Did you name them normal names or unusual names?
Just normal.
Yeah, we picked names that were not super common. But mm-hmm. names that were not super weird either. What we wanted was, you know, strong, sturdy names that sort of meant something, but were just not the most popular name. And then, you know, Ethan was one we picked. Well, so did everybody else. You know, so, like, you can't win, right? Because you don't know what everybody else is picking. Spencer and Sage being the other two. And so those are, Spencer's a little bit, you know, still not super popular, and both Spencer and Sage have been co-opted by the girls. So, like, you just can't win, this, especially when you're naming boys. Things could be worse for you. You could have parents who were Star Wars fans and you were born on May the 4th. Okay, right? So you would expect a kid born on May the 4th, 2017 in Britain to be named, well, Skywalker. And sure enough, Loki Skywalker Mowbray. I guess they didn't want to do... At first, I thought Loki, so they're a double, you know. But then I thought, you know, oh, maybe it's Luke. They didn't want to do Luke Skywalker, so Loki's real close. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so Loki Skywalker Mowbray was born. He's 7 years old. This was all fine and good until they decided to go on their first trip. And going on your first trip, you need to get a passport. The Home Office in London would not issue them a passport because Skywalker is trademarked by Disney. And they said they can't print that.
Oh, no.
Or copyrighted by Disney. Yeah, so they can't print it. And the family said, no! And eventually the Home Office did print it, apparently. I don't know whether they got an exemption or whether they just decided, we just don't care. But, you know, so they did. Meanwhile, another woman in England, Lucy, was a big fan of Game of Thrones, named her daughter Khaleesi. Warner Brothers owns that. So could not get, apparently, permission when they traveled to Disney. So, you know, maybe they should have traveled to somewhere that Warner owned. I mean, traveling to Disney for your vacation, maybe they give you an exemption for Skywalker. So, yeah, it's an interesting thing. I never would have thought about how a name could be owned, but if it's an intellectual property, you can't just decide to take somebody's IP and call it your name. You know, they're right. I mean, I hate to say it, but they are right about that. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
You've got my mind boggled here with how somebody's name can be owned.
By somebody else?
I know, yeah.
Right.
Well, the search is on for the suspects that killed four people in Birmingham over the weekend. Birmingham police say officers were called out to the Five Points South area Saturday night. Three people were found with gunshot wounds who were later pronounced dead, and a fourth person died at the hospital.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Yes, I guess this is my indirect way of warning you that if you name your kid News Radio 92.3 Smith, we're coming for you.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.